This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country. It's been a long, bumpy ride sitting back in the
saddle. It's time to get down, dirty up. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're getting closer and closer to CSU and Michigan. Cannot wait for that game. Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, how are you, man?
Good. Eating an apple.
Oh, what? Green apple, red apple, or something weird?
Red apple.
Okay. All right. Now I'll let that one slide. I was hoping for green for CSU, but that's fine. Maybe next week. The Rams are kind of getting into the pregame kind of week, Mike. They're acting almost as if this is getting set for game week, even though it's next weekend against Michigan.
Yeah, it's basically because, you know, when you start class, that's the schedule you're going to follow. So they get the players really kind of used to what their life is going to be like during the season, because they'll still, as we all know, they are student athletes. They will be attending classes. They will be excelling in the classroom. But then this way they get to know what their schedule is going to be like from starting with Sunday going through, so that they know what a week is like, and it helps. And once you get to that point, and now the practices are no longer split, it's everybody together, you're going to start seeing a lot more prep for Michigan and what they're going to see out on that field on September 3rd.
How much of this early portion of the week, Mike, is like straight up prep for Michigan, or is it more about prep for how we're going to be constructing a game week? How much do they start tilting toward the Michigan side of things throughout this week?
Well, just by the way they structure the practice schedule, that's structuring game week. So, but you will see like these certain periods are devoted to this. There are still periods that are devoted to just teamwork, individual drills, things like that. But, yeah, so it's constructed that way. But now, because it is game week, those periods that are about Michigan are now about Michigan, you know, or whoever the next opponent will be. You know, then you'll follow in the Middle Tennessee State, and then it's that, Washington State, and then you got Sac State, and that gets you through non-conference. But, yeah, that's what it is. They'll know the structure. Players will get to have a feel of, okay, we go from individual, then we do this, then we do this. Okay, now we're working on the opponent. Now we're working scout team. Things like that.
In your conversations with Coach Norvell, is this the ideal situation, planning for Michigan first game as the head coach for the Rams, a freshman quarterback starting, or would this be? Is this something where you'd rather have maybe a different opponent, Mike? What does Coach have to say about that?
I haven't really asked him what he thinks about starting his tenure here at Colorado State against a nationally ranked team, a team that was in the college football playoff. I don't think it's anything he would shy away from. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would say, oh, God, how terrible. I can't believe they set me up this way. No, he just likes to compete. He wants to go out there and do it. He wants to see what his team is like. And, yeah, he pretty much knew. I mean, even if there had been no coaching change here and he was still at Nevada, he's still looking at the same thing. They're not playing Michigan, but he's still starting with a redshirt freshman quarterback. So he was going to do that there, or he was going to do it here, and I think people are pretty happy he's doing it here. Those are situations. I mean, you know your roster and what you've got coming up to. I mean, they had a chance. I mean, I remember talking to Matt Mummy in spring ball. I said, you know, you got a chance to go out and hit the transfer portal, find a quarterback with experience, and he's like, no, I'm good. I like these guys. So they've got a lot of faith in Clay. They know he's going to make some mistakes because he is a redshirt freshman. He will be making his first start. You know, you're likely to see, you know, his blind side being protected by a redshirt sophomore making his first start at left tackle. So there's going to be some youth, but there's also going to be some playmakers and some experience on the field. You got to kind of play it out.
Yeah. Well, and again, you have that school of thought, too, where teams kind of want to just, hey, you know exactly what you got. You go up against a Michigan team, and who the heck knows, you put on a decent showing. Man, that's going to make the next week seem a little bit different. But nonetheless, if it's a bad game, a rough game, you got a lot of tape to dissect, too. That's what the Broncos are doing after their Bills game over the weekend. So there's a lot of, I think, a lot of positives either way you want to slice it. If Michigan goes and does Michigan-like things, you're going to have a lot of tape to dissect and break into as you prepare for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no matter who you play, you're going to get that. You're never going to be your best game one. You generally make your biggest jump in the season from game one to game two. Then it's, you know, kind of navigating. You're still trying to get better. There are things that are going to happen during the season that are going to make this team better that might not always be seen by the fans. So, you know, you've got an offensive line that's got some experience overall, but they never played together. As the year goes along, that's going to be a group that, even if they feel cohesive now, is going to feel better with game reps and knowing how they react in game situations. So I would really expect by the middle of the season that offensive line is going to be a lot better, even if they're playing well right out of the gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you got a defense that's going to learn. They're going to get a flow, an ebb and flow for how Freddie Banks calls a game. You know, they know what style of defense they want him to run. They know how aggressive he wants them to be. They know how he wants them to flow to the ball. But it'll also, they'll start thinking along with them. It's like, okay, I remember in this situation, okay, this is what I expected we would do. This is how we do it. Those things are going to get smoother as the season goes along.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. And what's the vibe like about Clay Millen? Or is there much talk about, from the other players on this team, about that being Clay's first start? Is that something that's even discussed, or are we just kind of trying to ignore that for the moment?
I don't think anybody's ignoring it. I mean, they all know it, but it's not like a talking point. It's not like anybody's going, oh, great, it's his first start. Everybody on that team has had to make their first start. They know what he's going through. Now that not all of them have had to make it a quarterback, which is a pretty high-profile position, but the thing you always hear about Clay is how calm he is, how mature he is for his age, how he controls the huddle. So everything you want your starting quarterback to be, he is, with the exception of being experienced, and you have to start somewhere. And for him, it's the big house at Michigan.
What's your feel, Mike? I mean, when we're looking at the quarterback for this team that could lead, hopefully, this team for the next few years. And I know it's practice. You've covered a lot of Colorado State football over the years. When you just kind of look at the makeup of Clay Millen and what he's doing in practice, how he leads this team at a very young age. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to play the prediction game, but does your vibe kind of tell you, man, this guy could be something special for Colorado State?
Oh, yeah, you just got to kind of watch him. You know, he handles everything right. He talks to his teammates the right way. He jokes around at times with them, things like that. He's got that leadership quality to him. You know, I don't know how much hype there is. I mean, I think there's a lot of confidence around him. And I think a lot of people have confidence in him. But I do like the way the coaching staff is not building him up to be the end-all, be-all, and the guy that's going to be perfect right off the bat. They know better that he's not. I mean, I think we started a freshman quarterback was Pete Thomas. Mm. Steve Fairchild kind of built him up, and Pete Thomas is not exactly the career record holder in anything at Colorado State. Matter of fact, as it turned out, he wasn't even the best quarterback in his recruiting class. That became Garrett Grayson. So I like the fact that they're not putting the world on this kid's shoulders. And I think if they did, he would be smart enough to just say, no, I'm going to knock this over here to the side. I'm just going to go play.
I think it's an interesting balance, right, Mike? You want to build him up, but you don't want to build him up to the point where it's like this guy is going to just game one, it just be invincible, unstoppable. But you want him to be excited. You want to motivate him in those right ways. You're right. The things that he says, he was on yesterday just talking about how, you know, he feels like it's his team, but it's other players' team, other leaders' teams that have been there for the last couple of seasons, too. That's what I really like is he's confident in his own ability, but he is quick to say, you know, this team still belongs to a lot of those guys that were here putting the time and effort in well before, you know, I even thought about coming to Colorado State.
Yeah, he's a very impressive young man, and in terms of the way he's come in, and it was funny. I mean, you're out there at spring practice, and we're like four into it, and I'm standing on the sidelines with somebody, and somebody goes, all right, so who's the starting quarterback? The two freshman quarterbacks go, it's number 11. Everybody knew right then and then who the quarterback was. There was not really like a quarterback competition. This kid has been groomed. He's been in the system for a year, and he carried himself that way with a confidence, not an arrogance, as he was still learning. He knows he's still learning. He knows he's thrown two college passes, and they were the good thing is they were both at Canvas Stadium, but they were against Colorado State. He's got some things to learn. He still has some defenses to read. You know, he still has to be in a situation where the game's on a line, it's 3rd and 11, and he's got to make the right choice. When he played against Colorado State last year, that was not the case. So there are going to be some things that he's going to have to do that he hasn't done yet, but he's been trained to do them. And I think he feels really good about how well he knows the offense and what decisions he's got to make. Now, all of a sudden, the only thing that's left is somebody allows him the chance to go out and make those decisions under live bullets, as they say.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Just kind of looking again at the overall with Coach Norvell, we talked about the positives of – there's positives and negatives with the transfer portal, certainly, but being able to bring so many of those familiar faces from Nevada over to CSU, I think it's safe to say it was more positive for CSU on that side of things, certainly more so than the team up north in Wyoming. Does it feel like, or according to Jay Norvell, does he feel ahead of the game as we sit here and talk on this Tuesday? A week and a half before the first game of the season?
That kind of asked him yesterday in his press conference where he felt like that they were and if they were in a good spot. And he did allude to the fact that, yeah, there was a lot of things that they had to do, but they put them in a ton of situations, as many as they could. He actually feels like this team's a little bit further along than some of them he's had, which sounds kind of nice because there's 59 new players on this roster. He inherited some. They brought in some guys from other places. I mean, that's more than half of your roster that was not here last year, and you're the new coach. So I don't know. I mean, he's feeling good about it, but he also knows that there's still a lot of work that they've got to do because these are two brand new systems. I mean, everybody's talked about the offense and what it is, but you know, Freddie Banks' system is new to this. I mean, this is a 4-2-5. They're going to play with the nickel all the time. You know, they've got heavy nickels and they've got light nickels and they've got different things in different situations, but the other thing that I think has also been neat is, like, I wrote a story, it'll come out later today, and it's about the defensive line and how everybody thought that was going to be kind of a weakness. I mean, there was a big hit there because you lose Patchen, you lose Manny Jones, and you lose Toby McBride, right? So you look at the starting four, they started 47 games. They had 47 games played, and they started, right? So the backups behind them played in a total of 32 games. Five guys played in 32 games, and one of them was Mo Kamara, who didn't play, he played in every game but didn't play a lot because he was a pass rush specialist. But, you know, he was effective in those roles. That leads me to what I like about what Banks has talked about. If you have a specific skill, they are going to use it and get the maximum. If you're not a great run stopper but you can be a pass rusher, that's great. They talked about Brandon Hickerson Rooks has been moved to defensive end, because he proved to them he is a good pass rusher. So now you've got a spot pass rusher for third down situations or definite passing situations, and he might only get 10 reps a game, but if those are 10 really good reps and it helps somebody else get some rest, they're going to be fresher. And that's the one thing. He feels good. He rattled off 8 names. These guys are going to play. They're going to give us some rotation. Our guys are not going to be dog tired because – you know, that was a pretty good defensive front that CSU started out with last year. But the last four games of the year, they gave up more than 1,100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
They were tired.
Yeah, no question about it. So much maybe put on that D-line, too. Mike, on the 4-2-5, how tough of a transition is that? And again, luckily bring over, you're getting guys maybe you think early on that can fit into that style of defense. But you're right. I mean, offensively, we've certainly talked about the guys that can plug into what Jay Norvell and Matt Mumme want to do. But Freddie Banks wasn't with them in Nevada at that point. So how difficult do you see that transition, especially for the first couple of weeks of the season going into that 4-2-5 defense?
I think they feel confident in what they're supposed to be doing in it right now. Again, you've got to do it against somebody. And Michigan's a team that can run the ball. You know, they will throw off play action. So they're going to have to learn how to disguise what they want to do against Michigan. They're going to have to come. They're going to get a prime opportunity right now to prove that they can be a good run-stop team, because this is going to be a challenge for them. That's obviously going to be the case. So they're going to learn some things about themselves and exactly what they think they know. But the one thing that is nice is this will be an aggressive style of defense. So he's going to let them play. He's going to expect them to run. I think there's some quickness scattered throughout the defense that they like, that they will try to use to their advantage. And the other thing that they preach a lot, and this generally comes, and you figure this out if a team's good or not during games, is can they be ball hawks? Can they create turnovers? Because this hasn't been a defense that's created a lot of turnovers the last handful of years. You're a much better defense if you can do that. So that's another thing that they're looking to find out. Is this team opportunistic enough that if, you know, one guy's got the tackle made, is the second guy and the third guy coming in punching and stripping at the ball and trying to create turnovers?
Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. We'll see as this week progresses and then shift our focus into, at least from our side standpoint, all things Michigan next week. Hey, real quickly, Mike, I got about a minute here. You do have Wyoming and then Mountain West, a couple of Mountain West teams playing. Wyoming getting set to go up against Illinois this weekend. What are your thoughts there? Does Wyoming win this game?
I don't think so. But I'll be interested to watch some of these teams play, because I think Fresno plays too.
Yeah, I think so.
Or Utah State has. Fresno doesn't play.
No, Utah State plays UConn.
I don't know about you. I like college football a lot. So I'm going to try and watch as much college football as I can this weekend. And I think we've got three or four teams in the Mountain West that are playing. So I'll take a look and see what things are happening and what they're doing. Because, I mean, Wyoming had a lot of turnover too.
Yeah, a lot.
It'll be interesting to see what they have. And, you know, Hawaii obviously was just, you know, decimated. I'll be curious to see what they look like and what Timmy Chang's doing out there. Utah State's got some interesting parts. I think they took some hits on defense, but I still think they're a good team. So I think they'll be fun to watch. And it gives you kind of an idea of what you're going to see later on down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Several Mountain West teams in action. Nevada, Utah State, UNLV, yep. Wyoming. So should be good. Mike, appreciate you as always, my man. We do have actual football that means something this weekend, so I know we're all excited about it.
I'm very excited to watch somebody else play 0 week, and I'm very excited that it's not Colorado State.
Mike, appreciate you as always. Love your stuff, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Take care.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. 12:51 the time. We'll wrap up this hour, second hour. We'll get to today in the NFL. I've got Cody Tucker from 7220. More on the Kevin Durant Nuggets stuff. So we'll get to all of that and more. Kevin Durant not with the Nuggets stuff. Okay, let me just be clear. Whole show continues. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.